News Radio KMAN, we are back here on In Focus. We are chatting here today with our NBAF guests here on this show. We've got joining us on the program, Dr. Ken Burton, Mr. Jeff Brackey, and Katie Pulaski, NBAF coordinator for AFIS. That's Dr. Burton, facilities director, Jeff Brackey, and Katie is the communications director. Before we continue on our conversation with Mr. Brackey, did have a caller submit a question here. He's got two questions. The first one is, do you have enough test lab constructed, or could you do lab tech training next door at Roberts Hall Biosecurity Lab to process swab tests in this emergency and thereby make swab results promptly available?
Brandon, on that question, and appreciate that, at this point, NBAF isn't operational at all, so we're working towards operational stand-up. But to another point, NBAF will strictly address the livestock transboundary animal diseases and diagnostics associated with that. The current situation is being handled by public health agencies, CDC, and other public local and state public health agencies. So those are questions that we really wouldn't be able to address, but I do have a reference website for any questions that might be related to USDA and COVID-19, and I'd be happy to give that. It's www.usda.gov/coronavirus. I might mention, though, just on another related note, though, as far as laboratory training, we do have an NBAF laboratory training program that is also secondary to our NBAF scientist training program. And that's specific to laboratory animal technicians that have the potential to work at NBAF in the future. But we are partnering with the Biosecurity Research Institute at Case Center. And that's a program that will be it's a certificate program that students can participate in if they're selected, that would work to having them get proper certification to where they can work in the laboratory animal area at NBAF. And so that's the NBAF laboratory and training program, which is separate from the human side, but it's definitely something going forward that will offer an opportunity for students to be able to be ready to work in the animal laboratory.
All right. And then the second half of the question, I don't know if you can address this or not, but he asks, would 55,000 tests repeated at $20 each make a difference?
Yeah, that would be outside of my area of expertise. But again, for anybody, any of the listeners that have an interest in USDA and COVID-19 related questions, I'd encourage them to go to www.usda.gov/coronavirus. I'll repeat that, www.usda.gov/coronavirus. And that'll give them an opportunity to look at frequently asked questions and answers in relationship to USDA.
Very good. Okay, well, let's continue on our conversation with Mr. Brackey. Appreciate you addressing those, Ken.
Sure.
Jeff, how big will the facilities team be, and how many people do you have on the team right now?
When we're done hiring for all the facilities teams, we'll have 100 people in the facilities department, and we currently have 44 hired.
44. Oh, so you're about almost halfway then.
Yes, that's correct.
And what types of positions do you still need to hire to fill out your team?
Well, Brandon, I'm glad you asked that because we have quite a few positions left. And what we're really looking for is a lot of skilled trades personnel. And I'll just list a few, like electricians, refrigeration technicians, boiler operators, autoclave operations, mechanics, thermal tissue autoclaves, welders, painters, and there's workers and helpers for each of these trades we're looking for. So we'll be advertising a lot of these jobs. We're continuously advertising, but they're advertised on USA Jobs, and we've advertised some of them on Kansas Job Works that's run through the state of Kansas.
And so when you interview, I guess at this point, due to circumstances, you're just doing those virtually then?
Yes, we're doing the interviews all by telephone.
Okay, very good. What are the members of the facilities team doing now until the U.S. Department of Agriculture takes ownership of the facility from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security at the end of the year?
Well, we're hiring in the team, so each team of the different trades and technicians are in similar teams. And what we're doing in those teams is familiarizing and learning the systems that from the NBAP drawings and contract facility system submittals that on all the equipment and things that were submitted by the contractor. And all those documents came to us from the Department of Homeland Security sharing them with us. And a lot of the first document that came over is the basis design, what was done with the design. There's a lot of on-site training and commissioning done for systems that's coordinated through DHS and the general contractor on-site. Their contractors are doing the training courses for the system. So we get a little insight into that. And then we're working a lot with other teams in NBAV, like the bio-risk teams, the safety teams, the transshipping teams, to get our processes and flows and everything set up of what our needs and requirements are now and in the future. So there's quite a bit going on each day that make this work, but everybody's anxious to have that December time frame come around so we can get in the building and practice what we've learned.
I think a lot of people are looking forward to December just because right now because of this.
Yeah, it is. It's an exciting time. It's getting closer and be there before we know it.
Well, what are some of the unique rewards and challenges associated with being part of this transition, in your opinion?
Well, it's very, very exciting and rewarding to assemble facilities, teams, personnel, and see them develop and be able to support such a national laboratory like this of importance. And from a perspective of it's a very unique situation because we can offer employees career opportunities for their long-term success. If you get in and have jobs in these type of laboratories and you really like it, it's well known that you can be part of the team for a long time. And then also to be part of a world-class facilities and then taking ownership of that's a unique feeling and it's hard to describe. Some of the challenges is, you know, we're creating new teams. We're starting from the beginning and, you know, we're taking a lot of efforts in the leadership that's there and creating a culture that's completely, you know, in a completely new organization and making that develop in the way they would want to be the most successful. And then the biggest challenge is meeting the tight timelines that are mandated through this process and has oversight from Congress.
All right. Well, it's definitely an exciting time here, and a lot of stuff is happening, transitioning, and we appreciate you coming on and sharing that with us here today, Mr. Brackey.
You're very welcome.
We'll talk a little bit here to Katie next on the phone. And Katie, can you kind of give us an update on construction and how that's progressing as well as hiring?
Sure thing, Brandon. So pleased to share that the Department of Homeland Security continues to remain on schedule and on budget. On-site worker population is continuing to go down each month a little bit, down to about 250 per day. And just as a, you know, kind of a comparison, that's down from 650 per day last year. So definitely that activity is starting to wind down. Their spending rate continues to be under $10 million per month, and they're still at about 88% spent of the $1.25 billion budget. So great news there. And then as for hiring, we are continuing to move forward. We now have about 141 total team members, either on board or with start dates for USDA MBAF. We even had a few team members on board this week virtually. So we are just kind of right along with everyone else working through the current circumstances and still trying to continue to bring people on board so that we can move forward with our operations and getting up and running. We also have two positions currently open. As a reminder, all those are on usajobs.gov. We had 15 recently closed, and we have 9 announcements pending. So there are a lot of jobs. Continue to keep an eye out for jobs if you're interested on usajobs.gov.
All right. And are you able to continue some level of outreach given the current situation?
You know, technology is amazing. We're absolutely continuing with some outreach, and we're happy to provide updates virtually with any groups who are interested. Just as an example, Dr. Burton and I will be virtually presenting an update on MBAF later this month for the Wamego Chamber of Commerce. So just as a reminder for everyone out there, any outreach, media, or public inquiries can be sent to mbaf@usda.gov. That email address is mbaf@usda.gov. And we just very much look forward to continuing to educate and work with the community and the media on all of our MBAF happening.
All right. Well, we sure appreciate the time here this morning and every month that we get to talk to you guys about updates. And hopefully we'll get to do this face-to-face at some point down the road. Katie Pulaski, thanks so much. Dr. Burton and Mr. Bracke, thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you as always, Brandon. We appreciate it.
All right, that's going to wrap it up here for this segment. Stay tuned. More in focus after this on News Radio KMAN.